Lovely, isn't it, being called a nation of Wales?
It is.
And we've got lots of people hard at work with trying to bring the kingdom alive in this nation of Wales. And it's lovely to know that someone like Alfred is busy at work with churches and on our behalf too. So thank you and welcome for being here. There is a bottle of water unopened there if you would like that.
Thank you so much.
And feel free to either a bit the pulpit or wander, whichever would suit
Fantastic.
You. Okay, thank you ever so much
thank
for
you,
being
my friend.
Here. I'll go and sit next to my wife.
Thank you so much. Well, good morning. Bore da. Shuddach hir bore ma. It's good to be with you. I was saying to Clive at the beginning of the service, I think it was 2003 that I was last here, and it's great to be back after a bit of a gap. It's really good to be back with you and to share God's word together. Before we open our Bibles and turn to the New Testament, I'd like to give just a brief update. Jordan very kindly has put the PowerPoint on the screen for us. I'd like to give a quick update on some of the things that are happening across the nation of Wales. I've been in post now for over 18 years, would you believe? Before that, Jackie and I were pastoring churches for 18 years in different parts of the United Kingdom. Our first church was in Bournemouth, in Dorset, which is where we got to know of Clive and Jeanette's pastor, Paul Harris. That was Paul, wasn't it? You mentioned it back in the day, long, long time ago, probably late 70s, I think, actually. But it's great to be here this morning. So, as has been said, I'm the National Director of Evangelical Alliance Wales. What does that mean? And what is the Alliance all about? Well, very simply, the first slide introduces some of the team to you. And I'm wearing the same jacket to make identification easier for you this morning. And I'm also wearing the same hairstyle, which is deliberate on my part to help the identification process. So that's me on the left, in case you hadn't realized. M. James is our new administrator, just coming back from maternity leave. And Jim Stewart is our public policy officer. I'll say more about that in a moment. The other names are some of those who form this amazing team of volunteers that we have in order to fulfill the ministry of Evangelical Alliance Wales. Next slide, please, Jordan. Thank you very much. And in summary, we're all about the gospel. Sometimes people ask me the question, hey, Elvid, what does evangelical mean? And how do you answer that in a sentence over a cup of tea? Well, you've just taken a mouthful of biscuit. How do you do that? Well, the answer I often give is this. It's a Greek word borrowed from the original language of the New Testament. It's the Greek word for gospel, the evangel. So being an evangelical person or Christian is being a gospel-focused person. And the Evangelical Alliance, therefore, is all about doing gospel in a joined-up way across Wales, together. Jesus prayed an important prayer, didn't he, in John 17? It went something like this. Lord, may they all, that's all people who are going to become Christians, be one as we are one, so that the world might know that the Father has sent me. The best way to do mission is together. And the Evangelical Alliance is all about helping churches work together to do mission effectively across the nation of Wales. So, amen. So we have three main areas of focus. Next slide, please, Jordan. Thank you very much. One of the focuses that we have in achieving this goal of doing gospel together is government and media focused. What I mean by that is that we have a mandate, we believe, from the Lord in Wales to be a voice of good news people, the good news of Jesus Christ within the corridors of power, the assembly, and in the media. So by God's grace, in the last few years, we have been given a seat by the First Minister on his Faith Communities Forum. It meets twice a year, and it's an opportunity for influencing policy. Now, the Assembly is a secular body, and it works interfaith, so every single faith expression from Wales is represented on the Faith Communities Forum. And my colleague Jim and I are there representing all 60,000 evangelical Christians across the nation of Wales. And we have the privilege of endeavouring to be good news communicators. We're not there primarily to lobby. That happens somewhere else. There's a place for lobbying and encouraging politicians to pay attention to things that matter. But we are there in this meeting to articulate the amazing things that God is doing through the nation of Wales, through his church. Because we are good news people. And Jesus changes people's lives, doesn't he? Forever and for the better, which is amazing. So we're there to represent, like I say, things that matter to us. We can raise anything on the agenda. One thing that we raised a little while ago was a response to a petition. You may have seen it on the Assembly website. It was put there by a well-known secular organization, shall I say? And it was a petition calling for the abolition of all acts of worship in schools throughout Wales. And they had 250 signatures over an 8-month period. Well, anyone can put a petition on the website. So my colleague Jim said, why don't we put one on? I said, good idea. And so he did. And it went like this. We, the undersigned, believe in the value of acts of worship in schools throughout Wales. And we had 800 signatures in a week. And so at the next meeting of the Faith Communities Forum, we presented to the First Minister the two petitions, and we said, can you give us an assurance in the light of this that the Welsh Assembly Government welcomes the freedom and the provision of worship in schools throughout Wales? And the answer came back, yes, we do. There's an important way of being good news people. Not complaining all the time, not being negative all the time. There is a place for that. But actually communicating the good things that God is doing. The media will often contact us for a comment on a range of issues. Usually it's live radio. Will we phone in or go into the studio and be part of a discussion? And sometimes it can be very, very easy, like what do we think of the remake of Ben-Hur? That's easy. Or the latest Narnia film, no problem. But more often than not, it's a bit more challenging. We're brought in to engage in discussion with people of very different opinions. It might be on same-sex marriage or stem cell research, or it might be on transgenderism. And the question is, Elvid, what do you think as a Christian leader about this? Well, I've learnt from my friends in politics. Whatever question I'm asked, somehow the answer is Jesus. And the challenge is to try and bring it round to something that brings glory to the name of Jesus. So please pray for those opportunities that my colleagues and I have, and many other Christians too have those opportunities throughout Wales, to be good news people in government and media contexts. Next slide. Thank you, Jordan. Quite simply, as evangelism, our passion is to enable churches, organizations, Christians to work together collaboratively to make Jesus known. And the logos you can see on the right-hand side there all indicate organizations, collaborations that we've helped to set up to enable churches to work together to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Waleswide is a church planting initiative where we're really praying that new churches will be started in parts of Wales where there's no live, active gospel witness. And most of those places are in rural Wales. And many of those places are in Welsh-speaking Wales. And so our vision and passion is to see churches who will actually work together strategically, maybe from Cardiff and Newport and Swansea, and say, we are passionate about helping churches start in Powys, or in the Llyn Peninsula, or in other parts of Wales where there's a desperate need for the gospel to be heard through vibrant churches being started to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The Net Cardiff, the next logo you can see, is a coalition across the Cardiff area. There's also the Net Wales, a website we've set up to enable churches to work strategically and to access opportunities to train people to do evangelism, to enable more and more people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. For example, a couple of years ago in Cardiff, we did something on Maundy Thursday in Queen Street in Cardiff. Anybody know Queen Street in Cardiff? You go there often, I'm sure. Well, it's an interesting thoroughfare with lots of people going up and down the street. Well, on this occasion, we decided to do shoe shining in Queen Street in Cardiff on Maundy Thursday. I hope you see the parallel. Jesus washing his disciples' feet and us shining shoes. We thought offering to wash feet in Cardiff on Maundy Thursday in March would not be a brilliant idea. So shoe shining was the offer. So we simply went and said, would anybody like us to shine their shoes? Well, the biggest shoe man said to me, yes, please. Will you shine my shoes? I don't think he'd had them shined for a few years. So there I was polishing his shoes, and he said to me, well, why are you doing this? Well, we're ministers of the gospel, we're Christians, and we're doing it because Jesus washed his disciples' feet. We want to serve you as Jesus came to serve the human race, and he became our savior, and we'd like to invite you to come along to church this Easter time. Would you like to come? The Guardian newspaper turned up. They were fascinated. They did a full-page story on these wacky Christians shining people's shoes in Queen Street. You never know what God might do. As God's people determined to work together to make him known. Missional Links Wales is a collaboration between American churches and Welsh churches. Teams will come over, work alongside Welsh churches to help them do mission more effectively in a Welsh context. Last autumn, in Bridgend alone, and there are several of these missions that happen throughout the nation, in Bridgend alone, 14,000 people heard the gospel as a result of these missions. 250 made first-time commitments to Jesus. You know, God is at work in our small nation. He's at work right here in St. Julian's Baptist. I can see that just by coming here this morning. It's amazing to see what God is doing. People are coming to faith. Lives are being changed. Best way to see that happen? Let's do it together. Next slide. Thank you, George, doing a fantastic job. Hope you're paid well. Third area of focus, quite simply, is the transformation of communities, not just through the proclamation of the gospel, which of course is true, but the demonstration of the gospel. So a number of years ago, we set up something called Gweini. It's a Welsh word, it means serve. It's subtitled The Council of the Christian Voluntary Sector in Wales. There's an interesting subtitle for you. That's government speak to help them understand what it's all about. And Gweini represents the Christian voluntary sector to the Welsh Assembly through the forum that I mentioned before, but also helps churches access funding as they work together to run projects to serve their community. And interestingly, over the last 18 years, as more and more churches have decided it's a priority to serve their community as well as preach the gospel, more and more people have come to know Jesus. A good friend of mine, David Ollerton, who went to be with the Lord last year, wrote a book just before he passed away. It was his PhD thesis. And in this book, he did some research on churches that are seeing the most converts in Wales. Simple question was asked, how many people have you seen come to faith in Jesus in the last 5 years? Simple summary of the result is this. The churches seeing most converts over the last 5 years in Wales are those that preach the gospel unashamedly on the front edge and at the same time engage with their community through acts of kindness and mercy to demonstrate the kingdom. Interestingly, those that just preach the gospel don't see so many converts. Those that just engage with community don't see so many converts. But those that preach the gospel and engage with community are seeing more and more people come to faith. We live in exciting times. And as the Alliance, our mission is to serve you and to serve churches and the people of God to follow our mandate to make Christ known through the proclamation and demonstration of the good news of Jesus. So we're here to serve you. We're here to encourage you. We're here to bless you. And if you would like information on the Alliance, I brought some magazines on the back table just by the sound desk. It's all there for your perusal and for your blessing and benefit. And I've also brought our newest little lime green, I like to call it, leaflet, that explains to you more of what happens across Wales through the Alliance. And if you would like to take this leaflet and use it to pray for us, we'd be deeply appreciative of that. But also you could do one more thing. If you're happy to do this, if you could take this leaflet and pray for us, but also through a very small donation of £3 a month, so an expensive cup of coffee per month, £3 a month, you could be a personal supporter of the Welsh Alliance, enabling us to do even more of the things you've heard me talk about this morning. And if you want to fill that in this morning, give it back to me, then I will ensure that you have one of our latest books as a free gift, as a way of saying thank you for becoming a personal supporter of the Alliance in Wales. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share that with you. And thank you, Jordan, for an amazing job on the desk. Thank you. Let's turn in our Bibles to the New Testament. I'd like to read a couple of passages. One in Matthew's Gospel, and our main passage in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23. So as you thumb that app, or switch your mobile on, or go to your iPad, I'm going to crack open this fresh bottle of St. Julian spring water. Yeah, I'm delighted that more and more churches give you bottles of water, because I go to lots of churches, and some of them are in very, very old buildings with massive pulpits. And I go and reach for a glass of water that's in the pulpit on the shelf there, and I take a sip, and I can taste the decades of dust that have accumulated onto. You've been there. You've had that experience, haven't you?
Especially cold dust.
But this is beautiful. Thank you. Acts chapter 4, we'll read from verse 23, but just before that, let me read a very well-known verse from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, and I guarantee if I were to ask any of you to quote this verse, you could do so from memory. This is what it reads. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, as we consider your word that we have read together this morning, we pray that you'll give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. We want to respond in faith, Lord, and obedience to all that you say and do amongst us. And our desire is to be a people who are more and more like you and who seek first your kingdom. Hear our prayer, Lord, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you like titles of sermons, I don't know if you do, but I'll give you one just in case. The title I would give this morning is Praying in the Kingdom. What better way to start a new year on the first Sunday than to be determined to pray in the kingdom of God? You know, Jesus spoke a great deal about his kingdom. He taught us that prayer that we read part of this morning, Matthew 6. He taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." What does that mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what praying in the kingdom means. Kingdom of God coming to earth. Heaven's rule on earth. Heaven's justice. Heaven's joy. Heaven's forgiveness. Heaven's peace. That's what we want to see more and more. Coming kingdom. He went on to tell stories of the kingdom in Matthew 13. It's like a mustard seed. It grows into a big tree. It's like a pearl of great price. It's like treasure that you sell everything to purchase. In Matthew 6, once again, he said, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." He spoke time and time again about the kingdom, but he only mentions church properly once. When he says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Here's the truth. We simply cannot build church. Only Jesus can do that. Not even brilliant pastors like Clive and Jeanette can make church grow. Simply doesn't happen. Only Jesus can build his church. But what we can do is seek first the kingdom. What we can do is pray in the kingdom. And sometimes we get very, very chewed up and screwed up over trying to be effective in doing mission or effective in seeing people saved, as though it's our responsibility alone. It isn't. We seek first the kingdom and Jesus builds his church. He adds to our number daily those who are being saved as we seek first his kingdom and righteousness. In 1934, a famous German theologian, Karl Hartenstein, coined a phrase which is well known in circles these days called Missio Dei. Latin phrase that means the mission of God. What he contended in his thesis was this, that our God is a God of mission. It's his very nature. It's one of his attributes. He is a God of mission. He loved the world so much that he gave, missio, sent, his one and only son. Walking in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had committed sin, he was calling out for them, "Where are you?" He's a seeking and a searching and a missional God. That's our God. It's in his very nature. And it's not the Church of God that has a mission, but it's the God of mission that has a church. And it's the God of mission who uses us as we pray in the kingdom of God to see his mission accomplished. He is the God of mission. And in Acts chapter 4 here, we see the early church in action. They are preaching the gospel. Peter and John have been imprisoned because they're preaching. They're warned not to preach anymore. They're told to discontinue what they've been doing, otherwise they'll be imprisoned again or even worse. They come out of prison, they carry on preaching, they gather together in chapter 4 here with the early Christians and they start to pray. Now they're facing persecution. They're facing hard times and yet they pray in the kingdom of God. This last year, we have witnessed some atrocities throughout the United Kingdom. The bombings in Manchester, the stabbings, the execution of people in the streets of London by vans being driven into them. We've seen some atrocities. And yet, how does God's people react to such atrocity? We gather together and we pray in the kingdom of God. You know, God's people are amazing at responding in a Christ-like way where all the odds are stacked against them. I remember in 2016, we were commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Abervan disaster. Some of you remember that day in 1966, in October, when so many children were buried alive in a mining tragedy, the result of a mine tragedy. Kenneth Hayes, the Baptist minister of Zion Baptist in Aberfan, and his wife opened their home for 36 hours non-stop to give counsel and ministry to the families who'd lost their children tragically in that accident. What many people don't know is this, that Reverend Hayes and his wife lost their son in that tragedy as well. But what was their response? They opened their doors of their home, their manse, for 36 hours and ministered to those who were bereaved. That's seeking first the kingdom. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So how did they pray in the kingdom in Acts chapter 4? Well, first of all, in verse 23, they built faith by telling stories of God's exploits. They reported all that God was doing. And one thing that builds faith and one thing that enables us to pray in the kingdom of God is sharing stories of the great things that God is doing. Now, many of you may have heard of Mission to Wales, something that happened in July of last year along the streets of Cardiff and Swansea and Newport and other parts of Wales as well, where thousands of Christians went onto the streets and simply invited people to pray a prayer of commitment to Jesus. You're thinking that's very old school. That's 1970s evangelism explosion. Well, by the grace of God, amazingly, thousands of people, probably 2,000 or 3,000 people, over a 10-day period in July, across the nation of Wales, made a prayer of commitment to Jesus. Now, hundreds of those are now active in church life because they've been followed up and discipled. But what's happening here? Well, as the people of God start to work together, start to believe, start to anticipate that our God is a God who moves and saves and changes people's lives, and as we tell those stories of the good things that God is doing, faith increases. That's what they did. They started their engagement of praying in the kingdom of God by sharing the stories of what God was doing. But then, secondly, in verse 24, they raised their voices together in prayer. And they prayed in two stages. First of all, they anchored their prayer in God's sovereignty. In verse 24. Now, how would you pray if your life or your livelihood were under threat? I know what I would do. It'll be something like this. Lord, just stop this. Rescue us from this persecution. Stop the imprisonment. Stop the opposition. But they didn't. They actually determined to pray in this way. Lord, you're in charge. God, you are sovereign. Lord, you are sovereign in creation. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea. Lord, you're sovereign in revelation. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant David. Lord, you're sovereign in history, and everything that happens is under your righteous rule. Herod and Pontius Pilate did what your power and will had decided beforehand. Lord, you're in control. That's the way to pray in the kingdom of God. If we look at it from a human perspective, we're doomed to failure. Who are we, a small minority of Christians in the United Kingdom? Who are we to see this nation transformed through the gospel? But by the grace of God and his sovereignty, we can see that transformation take place. I remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story well, Daniel chapter 3. They are charged with failure to obey the king's edict to bow down and worship the statue. And therefore their punishment is to be bound and thrown into the fiery furnace. And as they stand about to be thrown into the furnace and is heated up, it's 10 times hotter than normal, this is what they say. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. The God we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace. But even if he does not, we will worship only him. He's the one we'll worship. They draw a line in the sand. You can go so far, but no further. Our God is sovereign. As we seek first the kingdom of God, we do so under his sovereign authority and power. Our most effective prayer is anchored in the nature of God and not in our deserving nature as his servants. It's not, Lord, answer my prayer because I'm a good guy. It's, Lord, answer our prayer because of your sovereignty and your greatness and your majesty and your power and your authority. God has supreme status. Lord, the enemies are your enemies, they're not ours. Lord, you deal with this. We can't deal with it. It's your battle. Fight the battle for us, Lord. And then they prayed with a kingdom mindset in verse 29. In praying in the kingdom, they could have said, Lord, get the Sanhedrin off our backs. Or they could have prayed, Lord, give us an alternative strategy because this one's too difficult. Or they could have prayed, Lord, grant us a quiet life. But instead, they asked God to take note of his enemies. They said, Lord, give us increased boldness in speaking. Don't shut them up. Give us boldness. And they asked for evidence of the supernatural. Lord, stretch out your hand. Perform miraculous signs and wonders. It's your kingdom we seek. And as your kingdom comes, then miracles take place. Because heaven invades earth. Because the rule of heaven comes to bear on earth. And then they saw signs of the kingdom coming. In verse 31, they saw more of God's presence in the church, the gathering of God's people. The place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They had a corporate experience of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, Ephesians 5 and 18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a tense that means go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that can happen to us individually, as we know, but it can also happen corporately. And it happened to them as they gathered together to pray. Every single one of them at the same time was filled with the Spirit of God. I can remember when I first became a Christian. I'm from a non-Christian background, my first generation Christian. And when I was a teenager, I heard the gospel for the very first time. And the first time I heard the gospel, I responded and put my faith in Jesus. And I joined the church where I'd heard the gospel. And on one particular occasion, one Sunday evening, I'll never forget it, we were gathered together in a Sunday evening church service. Guest speaker was preaching on the raising of Lazarus. And partway through his sermon, as he spoke of Lazarus being raised from the dead, he suddenly stopped and he said, I can go no further. We have to stop this meeting. I'm going to invite you all to come into the back hall and we're going to pray. So all of us, must have been over 100 people, got up, walked through to the hall, and we all knelt for the next hour and a half. People wept and prayed, cried out to God, and we experienced a filling of the Holy Spirit altogether. I'd never experienced it before. I've never experienced it since. But it happened. It happened. Because as the kingdom comes in power, then there's more of his presence among his gathered people. Jackie and I were pastoring churches, like I said, for 18 years in different places. Our second pastorate was in Oswestry in Shropshire. We hadn't been there very long. And I went in my early days to visit Gwen, an elderly church member who was originally from Swansea. And she said to me, come round and we'll have a conversation together. I'd like you to pray for me. So we had Welsh cakes and a cup of tea. I used to go regularly to see Gwen. We had Welsh cakes and a cup of tea. And then she said to me, before you go, will you pray? I said, of course. And we prayed together. And as we prayed, the walls of her bungalow shook. And I went back to Jackie. I said, Jackie, you never guess what happened. We had Welsh cakes and tea, and we were kneeling and praying together, and the wall shook. And Jackie started to laugh. And she said, have you seen the news? I said, no. There's been a minor earthquake. Epicenter in Shrewsbury. The very time I was praying, I was crestfallen. I was really, really disappointed. I honestly thought it was the Holy Spirit. So I was telling my elders, and one of my elders said to me, well, funny you should mention that. 20 years ago, when we started this church in my front room, he said, there were 20 of us from local churches who were determining to plant a new church, this church I was now pastoring 20 years before, on a local authority housing estate. And as we prayed, the walls shook. And there was no earthquake. Because God's presence was there with his people as the kingdom was manifesting itself in power. But also, as well as more of God's presence in his church, as the kingdom comes in power, there's more of God's word on the street. The Bible says, the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and we spoke the word of God boldly. As the kingdom comes in power, yes, the church is shaken and transformed, but communities are shaken and transformed as the anointed people of God who seek first the kingdom spill into the streets and the alleys and the most deprived places and the most needy places, the most needy people, and see the kingdom coming in power. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 2018 is a time for praying in the kingdom. 2018 is a time for praying that Newport, in all its communities, including St. Julian's, will be transformed as the kingdom comes in power.
Amen.
It was a couple of years ago, I had a phone call from Cardiff City Council. We at that time were worshipping in Grangetown Baptist. We were there to help the church through what was quite a difficult time for them. Great church, lovely people, ministering into an area, 15% Muslim, multi-ethnic community, deprived communities. Phone call from the city councillor saying, can we come and meet with you, and would you bring together all the church leaders of Grangetown? I said, yes. He said, okay, thank you. We met together with this counsellor, who, as far as I know, isn't someone who declares faith in Jesus. But she said, we as the city council would like your help as churches within Grangetown. We have lots of empty buildings that we don't use anymore, and we would like to give them to you to use free of charge if you can run work with youth and children for us. Because we're interested in greater social cohesion in Grangetown. Subtext, we don't want radicalization to take place in Grangetown, because that's what was happening. They didn't say that, but that's what they meant. And who did they turn to help with that? The people of God. Because as people of the kingdom of God, when we seek first his kingdom, it's not only the church that is transformed, but it's communities that are transformed as the kingdom comes. So he said, yes, we will help you. And yes, we will work together. And yes, thank you, we will use these rooms for free in order to reach out to the communities of Grangetown. Let's not underestimate what God might do through us. As in 2018, we wholeheartedly, as churches together across our nation, seek first his kingdom. Pray in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your powerful word. We ask that you'll sink it deep within our hearts and minds, and that you'll bring fruit from your word in 2018 in this, your wonderful church, St. Julian's Baptist. Father, we pray for abundant blessing and encouragement and growth of this, your church. Please use pastors, leaders, members, friends to stand and work together to pray in your kingdom. And we pray you'll add to the number daily those who are being saved in this community. Build your church, Lord, and help us to seek first your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Alfred.
Pleasure.
It was a tremendous word. Thank you. And actually, I think it's a wonderful encouragement to us, because, church, I don't